but I just want to thank the Lord for this song, and I thank him for giving Jeannie the ability to write this song and the words to it, and it's so true. And if you know Jeannie, you know this is her life and this is the way she's lived it, and I just thank the Lord for her. I appreciate them being so. I don't deserve it. I'm so unworthy. And if God can help me, that's what I do.
I enjoy that very much as well. How true. I ask once again that you pray for me. The scriptures teach us to pray for the word, that it would be effectual. The word says it will not return to him void, it will accomplish that he purposes. And I feel like such a very, very weak vessel. Anyone else have a word? I don't know if these speakers are on. Whoever is in charge of that, keep your hand on them. We may just not need them after all. When I started pastoring Old Union, the first Sunday that I was there, they had their speakers on, and I told them, I says, probably not going to need those. Well, we're gonna turn them on. Well, they finally turned them off and never turned them back on in 7.5 years, so. He says, one of them is already broken anyway. I says, who broke it? They said, Don Curtis. So, I've got one verse I like to read, and we'll go from there. We may do some other reading, go in other places. In the book of Proverbs, in the 4th chapter, 23rd verse. Proverbs 4 and 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. If I were to put a title on this morning, it would be Guarding the Heart. Of course, we know that we're not talking about the heart that pumps blood through our veins. We're talking about the inward part of man, the very depths, the very core of our being, the heart that is spoken of so much in the Word of God. Now, I don't know where that is, but I feel like it's still got to be in the same general area. For I know what it's like to feel and know the presence of the Lord in that heart. I know what it's like for that heart to leap for joy when my Lord makes himself known to me once again. I know what it's like for that heart that even affects the natural heart. Begin to feel in those things, the natural heart sometimes will begin to beat with it. When the Lord is instructing or telling me something that I need to do, I rely heavily upon the leadership of God. I do know, and I believe you know as well, that we believe in the leadership of the Spirit of God. We believe that God speaks to us, and that sounds so odd to the world. Can't convince them of it, as Paul talked in the Corinthian letter. It's foolishness to the world. But to we that are saved, it's the power of God. Not only does he knock on our hearts, but sometimes it's very specific in what he's conveying to me. Sometimes it's real specific. I want to talk about guarding that heart. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Our Lord was speaking one day. He says, every evil thing that an evil man does begins in the heart. And every good thing that a good man does also begins in the heart. He's instructing us here to, with all diligence, keep that heart where it needs to be. Because if you don't, you're going to run into a great deal of problems down the road. Now, in Jeremiah it says, the heart is deceitful in all things and desperately wicked. The worst part about an individual before they are saved by God's grace is their heart. It's blackened with sin. It's corrupt, and there's no good thing about it whatsoever. But we do know, as the Word of God teaches, that he hath broken up that old stony heart of ours. When we put our faith and trust in God, he has broke all of that down, took it out, and put in there a heart of flesh where we can know and feel, and our heart pants after the things of God. Now, it also says in the Word of God that he has taken up our abode, taken up his abode in our heart. What a wonderful thought that is, and what a wonderful truth that is. In this new heart that he has given us, he has taken up his abode there, so he dwells, I believe, right here within each and every one of us that have been saved by God's grace. Now, not only do we have the Word of God, it's infallible Word of God, it was written as inspired of God, and as men were inspired, they penned it down. But I also have this within me to let me know whether I am right or whether I am wrong. Never been in disagreement with the written Word of God. It's always agreed. But not only do I have to search the Scriptures and see what's right, the Lord is there to let me know what is right, and sometimes what is wrong, and sometimes when I'm on the right course, or sometimes when I'm on the wrong course. Our Lord spoke in John in the 10th chapter. He says, I know my sheep, and they know my voice. I know them by name. I know every one of them, and they all know me. And they know my voice, and they'll not follow after another. I've had some odd requests. I thought they were odd. They weren't. I've had some odd requests from the Lord that spoke to my heart when I was trying to pastor. And it's like, I don't think so. And the Lord said, I know so. And I'm saying, I don't want to do that. He's saying, you had better. I have argued with the Lord some. I've never won. I was helping in a revival the year that my youngest son got saved. Many, many years ago out at Antioch in Macon County. It was my night to preach, and people got up and started testifying. And they testified from 7:45. Well, that's pretty late anyway to be starting, but whatever. They started testifying at 7:45, and 11:45 they quit. And I probably thought 30 times, well, I'm going to get out of this tonight. But don't you know at 11:45, the Lord says, you're not getting out of anything. You're going to preach, and you're going to preach tonight. Or in the morning, which is 15 minutes later. It didn't seem reasonable to me, and it probably, the way people looked, it didn't seem reasonable to anybody there. But no one left, and everyone sat down. And I had such liberty that night. As good a liberty as I've ever had in my whole life. The Lord helped me. And I tell you what, brothers and sisters, if the preacher's not being helped by the Lord and needs to sit down, it's not worth listening to. And our Lord said in John in the 4th chapter that the true worshipers of God shall worship me in spirit and in truth. You say, well, we got the truth. Brothers, we don't have the spirit. The truth is dangerous. We don't talk enough about the Spirit of God. Maybe not wanting to sound like some other group, but I tell you what, brothers and sisters, we should be totally and completely dependent upon the Spirit of God in everything that we do. And I want our young people to see in our services what I saw when I was a little boy. And I know they do, maybe from time to time, but not with the regularity that I remember. When I was a little boy, and I have 4 grandchildren, 4 more grandchildren, 4 are saved, and 4 little ones that are not at the age of accountability. And you know how bad I want to see them saved one day, and I worry about it a lot. And I get out a lot with those young people, especially this past year. We go and do places, and we do a lot of things together. And just nearly every time I look in their face, I'm thinking, I just can't even think about them not being saved by God's grace. And what concerns me is, I'm getting a little off topic here, what concerns me is that when they do reach that age of accountability, that there's going to be a church somewhere that they can go to, and they can feel the conviction of God, they can feel a preacher that's preaching with the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit, that word convicts them in their hearts, and they begin to seek the Lord. Like I felt when I was a little 10-year-old boy. That is near to my heart. We find in 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, 17th verse, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, I tell you what keeps me going. In this past year, it's been hard sometimes for me to just want to get out of bed. But I tell you what keeps me going. Is when I can from time to time feel the presence of the Lord, not only in my heart, but with God's people. And I can get renewed by that. And it helps me to get up and go on a little further. It says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We have liberty when the Spirit of God is with us. We have liberty to stand and preach. We have liberty to testify. We even have liberty to pray. And brothers and sisters, without the Spirit of God, you can't utter a word to God. It says in Romans that praying in the Spirit is the groanings of the heart. That cannot even be uttered, and I've done that a few times in my life where I got to the point, and it was just like I'm tired of demanding things of God. That seems like that's all we want to do anymore. Lord, I want this and this and this and this and this, and amen. Not a prayer of praise, not a prayer of thanksgiving, not a time to meditate and let him answer you. Just shouting demands at him. But that doesn't work. And I've been in shape before in my life. I remember when we were in Hawaii doing mission work, and there were some difficult times. They're not complaining. The Lord blessed us greatly, and the Lord kept our family together. The Lord brought us even closer than I believe we would have been if we'd have just stayed around here in the ease of what was going on here. But there's one day that the Lord put it on me to pray. It's not odd, but it's curious. Sometimes you just want to pray and can't. Have you ever been like that before? When Marisa, my dear wife, a little over a year ago, was in the hospital for 24 days, and brother and sister, I couldn't pray. And it was hard. I needed to talk to the Lord, and I don't know why, if it was already settled and there was no changing it, but I couldn't pray. And there's been times, other times in my life, when I just needed to talk to the Lord so bad. As the Songs of Solomon says, I sought him on my bed at night. I sought him, but I couldn't find him. I got up and I was still seeking. How many times have you been on your bed at night seeking the Lord? How many times have you got up still seeking? I have many times in my life when I'd say, Lord, please just hear me. It says as in the Songs of Solomon, the beautiful lady there, I went out into the city and I went to the watchman. Says, where have you taken him? Where have you put him? I'm seeking him whom my soul loveth. Then I found him, she says. I found him. And I put my arms around him, and I wouldn't let him go till I took him into my mother's house. Oh, when you reach that place, when you reach up just as high as you can go, and you just touch the throne of grace with your prayers. And you begin to pray, and you know you're there, and you know you're in the presence of God, and you know he's listening with an attentive ear, and you know you're just right there talking to him. And I have on those times thought, Lord, please, please help me with this. And Lord, please tarry here just a bit longer with me. Please stay with me here for a few more moments, for I have all these other things that I need to talk to you about. But it says here, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit is, there's liberty. There's liberty to preach. There's liberty to testify. There's liberty to pray. Like I said, there's sometimes you want to pray and can't. And then there's sometimes the Lord will say, you need to pray now. And that was one of those times when I was in Hawaii. It was over there. It was an apartment building overlooking Pearl Harbor. You could see it from where we lived. I told Marisa, I said, I've got to get out for a while. She says, what do you got to do? I said, well, I got to get alone for just a little while. And I went for a walk. And it was rush hour. And I went up to the main road, which led to the center part of the island there. And that's as far as I could go. I was in the median there. I was between the two busy highways. And there was a little tree there. And that's where I bowed down to pray. I couldn't get any further. I didn't care how many people passed by me. I didn't care how many people looked at me. I needed to talk to the Lord. And I needed to talk to him right now. But we all with open face, as opposed to the Jews, and that's what he's talking about in Moses' day. In Moses' day, where the veil was over their faces and they couldn't see the glory of God. But he says, now we can. Now, with an unveiled face, the glory of God, we can see that. And we can see that from glory to glory. And that's what I was talking about when the glory of God is revealed to me. And, oh, Lord, that helps me. That strengthens me. You know what I'm talking about, surely. Till the next time that you can feel and know that in your heart when the Lord passes by once again. But you know, especially we can find over in 42nd Psalms, I believe it is, when David was writing there, and it was a time when he was forbidden to be around God's people, probably when Saul was trying to take his life. And he says, my soul, as the hart or the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my heart after God. And he says, what I also miss is in the assembly, I think it's down in the fourth verse, the assembly where there is praise and joy with my, as he was saying, my brothers and sisters. I miss that. Man is not an island. It's not enough just to go out in the woods and worship the Lord. Oh, we need to worship the Lord together in church capacity. Oh, we need to come together with our prayers. We need to come together with our abilities and the things that God has given us in our own life personally to see that the church prospers and goes on. But we need that fellowship. I tell you what, I am strengthened when I have a brother or sister stand and going through something very difficult, going through something maybe like I have and going through, how that they can exhibit probably more faith than I'm able to right now. And they can praise God in that. It strengthens me, and it should strengthen us all. But let's not forget about the heart. Verse 24 of 4th chapter, things that he mentions here that you can do to guard your heart. Put away from thee a forward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Let thine eye look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. That is just some of the things that we need to do to guard our heart. To guard our heart, we've got to watch what we do physically. And a lot of people like to separate that. You can't. If you get too far gone physically, it's going to eventually hamper the work of that inward man or the heart of that person. I want to talk about David, a man after God's own heart. David was a good man. He was obedient, and that's what God loved about him. He would run to do the will of God, but David did not protect his heart. David did not take care of that heart within him. And you know the story of he and Bathsheba and Uriah, how that he committed adultery with her and had Uriah killed so that he could have her and try to cover up his sins. What did he do to the heart that was within him? He got to the place he couldn't do anything for the Lord. He got to the place that he wasn't capable of doing anything, and the Lord would not let him. We find in his prayer here in Psalms 51, he says, "Have mercy, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." Now, there are a number of things that David lost because he wasn't managing or protecting the heart that God had placed in him and given him. He had lost the joy of his salvation. He didn't have any joy anymore. Now, I'm not asking you to raise your hand, but there are many times the things that I'm talking about here, there are many things that I can't say yes to. It should upset me. Make me to hear joy and gladness at the bones which thou hast broken. May rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. He knew what was going on. He knew that his heart wasn't where it should be. And he says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Evidently, he was a man that led others to the Lord. He had lost that ability. He was not a soul winner anymore because of his own sins and because he wasn't protecting of that the Lord had given him. Do you have joy in the Lord? Not always. Not always, I don't. Can you pray? Now, I don't mean like we normally hear you pray, but actually pray. He had lost that ability as well. Heaven had shut her doors on David, a man after God's own heart. God would not hear his prayers. But he begged, "Lord, hear me again. Just hear me." Oh, what's the most disturbing thing of all, as I mentioned earlier, is when it seems like the Lord won't or refuse to hear you. He had lost his liberty to speak. That's obvious. He lost his ability to praise from the heart. Oh, we sing songs. Now, I'm not criticizing you. I didn't come here to do that. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about my experiences up until this point and where I've been. But a majority of what we do is not worship. A majority of what we do is form. The crowning thing that separates us from the world is that we have the Spirit of God abiding with us. That he gave to his church that was already established when the Lord walked here upon this earth, that he empowered her on the day of Pentecost and has never left her. Brother says, if we don't have that, we don't have anything. As that song says, all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One come down. And you know you've been in services where the power of God is strong. And just a few nights after that night that I preached at midnight, we saw at least 10 people saved that night. It was nearly 20 throughout that revival. The night that my son was saved and my family was rejoicing. I've never in my whole life witnessed anything like that night before or since. But it was wonderful. I took a view there for a moment as I was trying to catch my breath. The Spirit of God, I was just completely overtaken by it. Our body is not meant for such joy. Not for lasting joy, of which we were experiencing. It was just so weakening to me. And I looked out, and there's probably 50 or 60 people shouting at the same time. And people coming up everywhere and saying, "The Lord, Lord, has just saved my soul." I'd love to see that one more time
my life. Not see it, I love to feel it. Seemed like the power of God was so strong, you just reach out and grab it, and latch on to it. But David had lost his ability to praise. And he had lost his ability to sing aloud. Of those five, how many can you answer a yes to? Losing your joy, praying freely, liberty to speak, ability to praise from the heart, and singing aloud as we once did. Sing it, brothers and sisters. You know what I'm talking about. We had a custom out there at Antioch when I was growing up. Somebody to get saved, they'd sing, "My God is real." As a little boy, that had a profound impact on me. Because every time some boy would say, "Well, the Lord just saved my soul," somebody just starts singing it. And boy, you just think the roof was just about to bust out. Because we were singing in the Spirit of God. That's what I'm talking about. How many of those five can you say yes to? Now, I don't want your answer. I can judge myself as well, and I wouldn't do too well a lot of the time. David said also, "The sacrifices of God are a broken heart, a broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, thou wilt not despise." He says, "Oh Lord, open my lips. If you'll just help me here, Lord, and you'll forgive me." Brothers and sisters, what do we tell the lost? Repent, repent, repent. Yes, they must. But brothers and sisters, we need to repent many times. Repentance is not just for the lost. It's for the Lord's people, probably, if you're like me, on a daily basis. We tell them, trust the Lord. Put your trust in Him. Well, brothers and sisters, we need to do as well. Have faith in God. Sure, we need to. David says, "If you'll forgive me, Lord, I can teach transgressors their ways again, and sinners shall be converted unto Thee." He's saying again. As in Psalms 42, and in David's words there, he says, "My tears have been my meat day and night." My tears have been my meat day and night. Lord, I miss you. I miss you. And as a deer that is thirsty and has been running or maybe being chased, that's foaming at the mouth, seeking cool water, running as fast as he can toward it, looking for it everywhere he can. And then when he finds it, he begins to drink. And he begins to drink his fill. Cold water to a thirsty soul. That's what it is when we come in the presence of God and He manifests Himself to us once again. And we know, and I know that He lives. People say, "Well, you can't know anything about God, only what you read in the Word of God." Evidently, they never read the Word of God. Job says, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." Paul said, "I know in whom I have believed." And we can find in 1 John the 5th chapter, "I know that I ask anything of God that He hears me. And I know and I know and I know," brothers and sisters, He spoke to His people from Genesis to Revelation. He never stopped speaking to them. And brother, He's still doing it today. And it's not general like I was talking about earlier. Oh, I never did tell you about that. What had me so upset when the Lord wanted me to do something. I was pastor of a church, and there was a brother that said he had some sort of experience earlier in his life, but he wasn't ready to commit to it, wasn't sure. He never had come out and said that he had been saved. The other preacher was preaching that night, and as soon as the preacher got done preaching, he says, "You're going to have to call on that man to preach." I said, "Nope, I don't plan on it." Lord says, "You're going to have to. You're going to have to." I said, "Lord, I've never done that in my life. It's like, I don't care. You're going to have to do it." We got rid of this mess. I called out his name and had a deacon by the same name. So he started praying. The deacon did. I thought, "Phew, well, that was close. Lord, I tried." 2 nights later, it's the same thing. I was in charge of the service at the end of it. "You're going to do it." I says, "Okay, I will. At your word, I let down my net on the other side, Lord, but we fished all night. Got rid of this mess. Anything else? Surely there's a word from somebody else." It wasn't. I pointed at the man. I called his name. I said, "Would you dismiss us?" And he did. You know what happened after that? We had revival. The brother that happened in a meeting after it's over, he said, "Brother, we didn't have a meeting until we were dismissed." Just immediately after that, somebody requested song. Immediately after that, they started testifying. And then after that, somebody come and join the church. Immediately after that, somebody else did. Oh, we had a wonderful night that night. Now, that man may still be struggling with it. He may not know. But brothers and sisters, I know where he stands. People says, "I don't know anybody but myself." Brothers and sisters, your spiritual discernment is not that good if that's the case. I believe we can know that our brothers have been saved by God's grace. I believe we can know and understand that they are our brothers and sisters. Wouldn't that be a sad place to worship if you didn't know anybody there was saved but you? You couldn't believe a word anybody says. David got it worked out. The effects of the sin was with him for the rest of his life, but he got it worked out. The Spirit of God was abiding with him still. And I believe he led others to the Lord. Jeremiah 29:13, "And you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." When that heart gets in that kind of shape, you've got to call upon the Lord. You've got to get it worked out with Him. You've got to seek His face. Turn from your wicked ways. He says, "Then I will hear, and then will I help." You know the song, I'm sure you all sing it here, "It Is Well With My Soul." I don't know, do you all know the story of that man? He was a wealthy man in Chicago. He had a little boy and he had some daughters. He was a very, very wealthy man. The fire of Chicago burnt all of his holdings. His little son died. He put his wife and daughters on a ship. The ship went down in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean and all of his daughters perished. And he got a wire from his wife saying, "There is none left but I. Our daughters have perished." He says, "You stay right there. I'm coming to you." And he got on the ship. And he asked the captain, he says, "When you get over where that other ship went down, you wake me up. It's in the middle of the night." And the captain came to him. He says, "We're there." And he went up on top of the ship. the place where the rest of his family had perished, other than his wife. And he wrote down those words. If you're where the Lord wants you to be, if your heart is right, you can stand anything of this world. I don't care what goes your way or what happens to you. If you are where you need to be, in the center of God's will, if you've taken care of that heart, you've nourished that heart, you've fed that heart, you've watered that heart, and if you consider that heart of yours more important than anything else in your personal life, then you can take anything that you are faced with. Is that heart right with God? Yes, that's to the sinner. But brothers and sinners, that's to you and I as well. Right in the eyes of God. I've got to stay close because I'm so weak without Him. I've got to stay close because I need Him that bad. And I don't know how people get through this life without Him. I really don't, because I don't think that I could. I need His ever-abiding presence in my heart. I need His ever-abiding presence in my life. And to have that, I've got to take care of the heart that is within me. Thank you so very much for your good attention, and thank you for the opportunity to be with you here today. Let's have a song, if we could, and let's stand and sing. Let's have a handshake, if you'd like.